He laid Juniper's sling and stones amid the flowers.
You were a brave fighter, Juniper. We will never forget you. Bad Rang and his horde will pay tenfold for your death.
As the fair and freedom fighters drifted away from the grave, Yarrow sat alone by the flowers, gazing numbly at the resting place of his friend. Brome caught up with Feldo and motioned him to one side.
That was not a goodbye to Juniper. It was an oath of vengeance. How many more must die before you're satisfied?
Feldo's eyes were like rain-swept pebbles as he answered.
As many as fate decrees, myself included. I will not rest until Badrang is dead and Marshank brought down.
He strode off in search of fresh lancewood. Caston watched them parting before going across to Brome.
Do not blame Feldo. He feels for Juniper as much as you, Brome.
No, he doesn't. All he feels is that he must take revenge and carry on killing. He was my hero once. But now it's like talking to a strange beast. I don't know him anymore.
Caston watched the lone figure of Feldo in the distance.
He is a warrior, and that is the way of warriors. Just like the mouse Martin you're always talking about.
Brome shouldered his healing kit.
If Martin is a warrior like Feldo, then may the seasons help my sister Rose if she is still with him.
Chapter 33.
It was as if the very air were enchanted. Martin, Grum and Palom followed Rose through serene woodlands, quiet and high in the sun-warmed afternoon. They had thankfully left the shrews in a backwater tributary of Broadstream. The creatures were arguing and squabbling over the remainder of the food and drink which Rose had given them because she wanted to travel fast and light. It was a forest as old as time, with a special feel about it, cool in the dark green shade, carpeted with a many-flowered floor, shafted with golden rays casting their light on fern and bush. Velvety green moss was soft underpaw, and melodious birdsong was the only sound to filter through the variegated canopy of emerald and viridian green. Rose halted by a conical, time-worn rock.
Rose, what is it?
Martin felt his own voice ringing strangely in the stillness. She stroked the monolithic stone and pointed downwards.
Noonvale.
Through the trees, Martin saw the land dip down into a huge valley. The blue smoke of cooking fires rose in a lazy spiral above the foliage, and small thatched rooftops could be seen here and there. An aura of time forgotten hung over the beautiful scene. The softly coloured patches of flower gardens mixed with the unmarked boundaries of brightly hued orchards, whilst the light and sparkle of a stream cascaded into full bloom of a waterfall below. High above them, boulders circled and wheeled on the thermals, casting a great wing shadow over them as she soared gracefully downward.
See you in Noonvale, friends.
They stood looking at one another for a moment, happiness brimming between them. Grum waved his ladle.
Oh, we made it! Come on!
He broke into a run, went head over paws through the loam, and rolled down the valley side, chortling happily, his three companions paws thrumming the ground as they took off in a dash after him. Urren Vaw was not an old mouse, though he was completely grey and wore a beard. As the patriarch of Noonvale, he was an impressive figure, dressed in a flowing green robe with a thick cream-coloured cord at its middle. His wife, Arya, stood beside him, beautiful and motherly, in a lilac gown embroidered with green leaves. Rose threw herself into their welcoming paws breathlessly. Both mice hugged their daughter affectionately. Arya's welcome for Rose was interspersed with anxious inquiries about her son.
Oh, Rose, my Rose, your home. Did you find your brother? My, you've grown taller. Slimmer, too. That rascal Brome, did you see him? Did he mention his mother and father? Noonvale has been quiet without your singing, Rose. Is Brome following along? Will he be here soon?
Rose's heart sank. Brome and Feldo had not found their way to Noonvale. She could only hope that they were safe somewhere. Rose began gasping out her story, but Urren Vaw held up a paw.
Later. It is enough for now that you are safely home, Rose. No doubt you've risked life and limb several times to help your brother. You must realize that Brome is a born wanderer, never content and stubborn to the last word. Well, that young mouse is getting big enough to look after himself, but if you've agreed to meet up here, I expect he'll turn up sooner or later. Maybe someday he'll have sense enough to stay in Noonvale and not go dashing off every time the mood takes him. Ah, Grum Trencher, you good mole, greetings. Where are these two young creatures?
Yerby Palom and Martini warriors are They wonderful good friends to you, Miss Rosa.
Rosa's mother, Aria, cut short the introductions busily.
We can talk later. You must be starving. Rose, dear, show your friends where they can wash and find clean robes. Then bring them to the council lodge. I must prepare a homecoming party for you.
Sometime later, Palam and Martin stood at the entrance to Council Lodge. It was an immense, homely old thatched building, its four square banquet tables dominating the centre beneath smoke-darkened rafters. Rose and Grum led Palam and Martin in. Bathed in blossom water and clad in a clean, faded purple tunic, Martin held Rose's paw, standing slightly behind the mouse maid. The lodge was packed with the inhabitants of Noonvale. They stood cheering Rose and Grum heartily. Rose tugged Martin's paw.
Come on, take a bow, Martin.
The young mouse bowed formally amid the applause. Hurunvo waved him up with the other travellers to their places at table. Every beast stood as the patriarch raised his goblet.
Good food, good friends, and peace forever in this place.
May the seasons always be kind to Noonvale.
They sat, and the welcome party began. Throughout his life, the memory of that happy day stayed locked secretly in Martin's heart. He sat with Rose between her parents, speechless at the sight of the abundant tables. Flowers trailed everywhere from the rafters, walls, windows, and table edges. Roses, lilies, vines, and blossoms festooned the whole place, twining around the urns of strawberry cordial, dandelion and burdock cup, mint and lavender water, chestnut ale, blackcurrant wine, and cider. Platters and trays were heaped high with salads, cheeses, breads, and pasties, whose contents he could only guess at. Babies and little ones, seated on the parents' laps, gazed longingly at the array of trifles, flans, puddings, pies, and tartlets, each with its honey-covered contents peeking through mounds of cream. Grum chose a deep slice of cherry cake glazed with candied nuts. Allowing the tiny mole sitting with him to take a huge bite, he chuckled.
Bite off more than you can chew, Bungo.
It took a while for the infant to swallow it all. He tugged at Grum's snout.
Then get oi some strawberry drink, Uncle Grum. You wouldn't like oi to perish of thirst.
A friendly hedgehog maid sat next to Palam, offering him various savoury delights.
Try our leek and chestnut pasty. Here, let me pour some thyme and radish sauce on it for you.
Palam dug in gratefully.
Thank you, ma'am. Most kind of you, ma'am.
Ma'am, what do you think I am? Some old spite maid? My name is Teaselpaw. Have you tasted our chestnut ale? My family brews it.
Palam flushed beneath his spikes, burying his snout in the beaker.
It's very tasty, ma'am. Peaselpaw, Paw'sle tea, ma'am.
Martin and Rose chose a damson and hazelnut flan topped with mint cream. They attacked the plate from both sides, meeting in the middle of the platter. Rose wiped cream from Martin's nose with a napkin.
What'll we try next? Cherry cake?
Martin shook his head vigorously.
No thanks. I don't want to go to sleep yet.
They both laughed, remembering the sly Agril. Baldred was slightly too large for any seat. She perched on a windowsill, demolishing a wild plum and apple pudding, watched by a group of admiring youngsters.
Can you eat all that by yourself, Mrs. Baldred?
The owl raised the large talon.
I can eat three of these without stopping. This is excellent.
The onlooker's eyes grew even wider.
Three plum and apple puddings. Great seasons.
The party went on until late into the night. Nothing was stinted. There was an abundance of everything for every creature. The guests sat back, sipping mint and lavender water, as a quartet of otters performed an acrobatic dance, while a band of mice and moles accompanied them, playing a lively slip jig on reed flutes and drums. At a nod from Rose, Martin excused himself quietly and followed the mouse maid and her parents to their cottage. Hurunvo relaxed in his favourite chair. Aria took out her embroidery. She sewed slowly as they listened to Rose tell of their adventures. Martin sat at the window seat, letting Rose do all the talking, as Rose described the evil and cruelty of the slaves' lives at Marshank. Her parents' faces became more and more grave. Rose came to the end of the tale. Her father nodded.
You did well to return home, Rose. While there is such evil, you should be here with your family. If only Brome could see this too. I am sorry that he and his friend Feldo are not here safe as you are. Let us hope he has the good sense to see that the outside world is not for him, and he returns to us before the autumn.
Martin took a deep breath.
Sir, I agree that Noonvale is a haven of peace. Would that we could all live in such. But outside there is evil, and I cannot rest here knowing that those I lived with in slavery are still under the heel of Badrang. I came here for help. Will you allow me to ask for that help among the folk of Noonvale? There may be some here who would join me in a quest to free my friends from slavery.
You ask a great deal. Our creatures have never seen war. They are dedicated to our life of friendship and peace.
But my dear, where there is such pain and hardship for so many innocent creatures, surely we could let Martin speak to our folk. Any who wish to help can decide for themselves.
My wife speaks wisely. I do not wish for evil to become part of our lives here, but maybe we can prevent the wickedness from spreading. Very well, Martin, ask my creatures for help, and good fortune go with you. I see that you carry a blade. We do not have such things here. For the time you are with us, you must not stay armed. Give me your sword, Martin.
The young mouse placed a defensive paw on his sword handle.
I am sorry, sir. I cannot do what you ask.
Urunvo's eyes were stern in the awkward silence that followed. Arya intervened between the patriarch and the warrior.
Martin, I know my husband's feelings, but I think I also know yours too. You have seen suffering and evil in your life. There is none of that to be found at Noonvale. Would you do something for me? I am not asking you to give your sword to Uran. Take it and hang it on the peg by the door. Do this yourself. No one else will touch your blade.
Without a word, Martin drew his sword. Going over to the door, he hung the weapon upon a peg protruding from the wall, balancing it by the hilt. It hung there, small and lonely-looking. The young mouse could not help thinking of his father's blade, big and worn, but a proper warrior's weapon, now in the paws of the tyrants. He would take it back some day. Somehow. Rose smiled happily at him.
Good. Come and I'll show you to your room.
At a glance from Murrenvo, Arya intervened once more.
No, Rose. You'll have Martin up half the night talking. I'll do it. Follow me, young mouse.
When they had gone, Rose's father put his paw about her shoulders and sighed unhappily.
Rose, listen to me carefully, daughter. What I tell you is for your own good. This Martin, he is a warrior, and death walks alongside such creatures. You must never let yourself grow too close to him.
Father, you're not a warrior. You're a worrier. Martin is my best friend in the whole world. He would never hurt me or let me be hurt. I'll change him, you'll see. One day he will be the most peaceful creature in Noonvale.
Urunvo rose from his chair slowly.
You and Brougham are alike, both strong-willed. I only hope that you are right, Rose, though I think no good will ever come of your friendship, because I can tell that Martin has a will and determination far stronger than any I have ever come across. Good night, my Rose. Before you sleep, think on what I have said.
Rose ruffled her father's grey beard.
Good night, you great fusspot. There's nothing to think about except a much-needed night's rest. When you come to know Martin the warrior as well as I do, you'll understand.